The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples were on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed him were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. And after 3 days, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to them, "Teacher, we want you to do something special for us." And he said, "What do you wish me to do for you?" And they answered, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" And they said to him, "We can." Then Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right and my left is not mine to give, but for those to whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, You know that those who are recognized as rulers over Gentiles lord it over them. Their great ones make their authority felt. It shall not be like that with you. Rather, whoever wishes to be among you will be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you will be the servant of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. On Monday, I did make mention of the fact that when the disciples first followed Jesus, they were not highly motivated. They were looking for a Messiah who would liberate Israel and restore the glory of the people of Israel. And you can see that in James and John here. They misunderstand the mission of Jesus. They think it's a worldly mission, and so they say, "When you come into your kingdom, we want the places on your right, places of power on your right and your left." Keep that in mind when you follow the journey of these disciples following Jesus. But there's something more fascinating in this gospel reading. Let me look at it this way. There's a construct here in chapter 8, 9, and 10 of the Gospel of Mark, which has a parallel, not in John's gospel, but in the other two synoptics. But it's very clear in Mark's gospel. And it begins, if you know the geography, it will help. It begins in a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is way up north in Galilee, next to the Lebanese border, about 70, 75 miles north of Jerusalem. In that place, Caesarea Philippi, in chapter 8, Jesus makes the first prediction of his passion. He says to them, "The Son of Man will suffer. He will be condemned, and he will die, and he will rise again." And in chapter 8, rather interestingly, Peter says, "God forbid this would happen to you. This cannot happen to you." Jesus sternly reprimands Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking like the world. You are not thinking the thoughts of God." A very severe public reprimand of Peter, who has misunderstood the mission of Jesus. And by the way, that's recorded in all three synoptics. The second thing is in the next chapter, which is chapter 9. And here, now Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem now. He's leaving Galilee way up north, and he's going south to Jerusalem. And it's the journey toward Jerusalem that is part of his teaching. He's on his way to the final week of his life. And in there, in chapter 9, we have the second prediction of the Passion, where Jesus says to them again, the Son of Man must suffer, he will be condemned, and he will die and rise again. Now, rather interestingly, in chapter 9, they didn't quite understand this Messiah that Jesus was revealing, but it says they were afraid to question him. And sometimes we're afraid to ask a question, we're afraid of the answer. So they don't question him, but they don't understand a suffering Messiah. And now we come to chapter 10 today, where Jesus predicts his passion, and still James and John, they don't hear anything here. They have totally ignored the messianic Jesus, the suffering Messiah, and they're looking for worldly power. They will not understand this until the Holy Spirit comes upon them after the resurrection. We had that on Sunday, on the Pentecost Sunday, is when the Spirit came upon them, they began to understand the true identity of the messianic Jesus. So what we have here is a very interesting construct where three times Jesus reveals the fact that he must suffer and that they will suffer if they're going to follow him. Part of their journey of life will be reversals, misunderstandings, false judgment, rejection, some real suffering as part of following Jesus Christ. They don't want to accept that. They don't understand that. And they will not accept it until the Spirit comes upon them. Sometimes I wonder for myself if we haven't institutionalized Jesus so much that we're looking for a triumphant Messiah. We want a church that's perfect. We want a parish that's successful. We want to belong to something that is impressive. But listen to the gospel. The gospel said, you live in an imperfect world. You want to follow Jesus Christ? You will have to carry a cross. Otherwise, you're not following the true Messiah. The Messiah that is glorious and perfect and lead us to all sorts of triumph in the world is not the messianic Jesus of the Gospels. The Jesus of the Gospel says, you want to be bonded to me? As it is in any human relationship which has value. Any community, any parish that has value, when one person suffers, it belongs to everybody else. If one person is excluded, if one person is racist, our community has to deal with that. If one person is judgmental, then somehow that belongs to our community. There's this sense of Jesus Christ appearing in the manner of the community, the humanity of the community. The struggle of discipleship. It's very interesting. It's an interesting prayer where Jesus goes on to say, the first must be last, and if you are to be a true disciple, you must be a servant. And if you're a servant, when the master suffers, the servant suffers. When the master carries the cross, the servant carries the cross. It's the whole journey of life. I mean, we're all going to hit places in life that are dark and reversal and unexpected, and we have to weave these into a true understanding of discipleship in Jesus Christ. Life is going to be unfair. We've kind of prayed for things we didn't get. We don't deserve what happens to us. By the way, we haven't deserved the blessings either, but we don't count. We don't ever say we haven't deserved the blessings. Somebody once said to me, you know, I am not worthy of the blessings that God has given to me. And I said, you're absolutely right. You are not worthy. And keep this in mind. A whole notion of discipleship in Jesus Christ can only be understood in the power of the Holy Spirit. Invoke the Holy Spirit and see with the eyes of faith, and then you will begin to understand in a deeper way, for you, for me, we'll understand in a deeper way what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It's a whole spiritual journey. It's marvelous when we catch it. When we don't catch it, it's a burden. You don't understand the cross will weigh you down. If you understand the cross, it will be a time of revelation, teaching, and a place of grace. Amen.